We had some pretty crazy weather this past 3 weeks, haven't we? And so kind of now it's finally warmed up a bit. And so during this time is when we have this beautiful weather here in San Antonio. I love taking like just little small hikes or walks with my family. And my choice is the 12 acres. If you haven't been down there, it's an awesome time of just, you know, just walking and seeing God's creation. Now, before we had our two kids, Keziah and Levi, you know, it was a lot easier, as many of you know. You know, you could just, hey, let's go out for a walk. Okay, throw on the shoes, 5 minutes. But now we kind of got this this laundry list here of all these things. We got to make sure all the kids have the right clothing because we don't want them too hot or too cold. We got to make sure we bring sippy cups and all these little things. We got to make sure we got our stroller that is able to go off-roading through the paths. And so, you know, you got to get all these things ready. You got to prepare. Because the last thing you want to do is Keziah to throw a tantrum because there's not enough water. And so, you know, we got to prepare for this physically. So we got to spend about 30 minutes to prepare to enjoy an afternoon with the family. But how many of us prepare our families spiritually with the walk, our walk with Christ throughout the rest of our lives? And that blessing, that lifetime of blessing of following Christ. And you see, it's wise to work on the family and not just in the family. Now, if you didn't grow up in a Christian family like me, and you didn't have the Word of God central, you know, you're living according to the world's standards, according to how the world lives. And you get married, you know, you start a family, you have all these kids, but you're still living according to the world. And why do we follow the world's standards? It's because all that we know. Or possibly, maybe you did grow up in a Christian family, and maybe you had the Word of God there, but maybe you're not following it. But one of the aspects of life transformation for Christians is this aspect of putting off and putting on. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 4, this aspect of putting off and putting on. And so today is what I'm going to talk about. Today I'm going to talk about putting off foolishness and putting on wisdom for your family and how you relate as to your spouse. And so it's so important because part of putting off foolishness is your old previous way of living, which brought pain, suffering, and misery. And then putting on wisdom, which brings joy, love, and blessing. And so this week is going to be more focusing on putting off foolishness. And so it's going to be one of those sermons, you know, we're going to be talking more about foolishness. And then next week we're going to focus more about putting on wisdom. And so the main focus is, the main idea is, how do you become a foolish family for this week? Now, if I asked you guys, you know, nobody wants to become a foolish family. If I asked you, you know, how many of you live in a foolish family? Nobody raised their hands. Nobody would say, yeah, me, of course, right. But how many of us, by our actions, live foolishly? You know. And so today we're going to talk about 5 characteristics of what a foolish family looks like. But in order to begin this discussion, let's jump to Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, just to begin the conversation, because let's just take Jesus' word on what a wise and a foolish person looks like. And so this is Matthew 7 is the ending of the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, and chapter 7, verse 24 says this: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because they had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So according to this passage, who is the wise man? It's the person who built his house on the rock. And what is the rock? Specifically in this passage, it's not Jesus or the Word of God. I do believe that Jesus is the rock. I do believe that the Word of God is the rock. But this passage in context is not talking about that. You can see it in verse 24 and then also in verse 26 that it's talking about the man or the wise person who hears the word and does it. And where the foolish person is the one who just hears the word and doesn't do it. So we need to kick things out of our mind of thinking that the unbeliever is verse 26. Because it's the person who actually comes to church every week or every year for many years and hears the word and doesn't do anything with it. And so let's strive. Let's make an agreement off the bat. You know, let's strive to be the wise man who hears God's word and does it. Now, throughout, you know, just growing up in the world, society likes to separate us between, you know, age, gender, race, or wealth. But the Bible, specifically, wants to separate us, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, whether you're a wise person or a foolish person. And we know from Psalm 14 that, you know, the fool is an unbeliever. So if you're a Christian, you know, you're called to be a wise person. But we can still act foolish. So the wise person is someone who hears God's word and does it. And the foolish person is that just consistently hears the word of God and does nothing with it. And so in life, there's two types of choices. There's wise choices and there's foolish choices. And because of that, you know, there's two types of outcomes. There's wise outcomes and foolish outcomes. And so let's take this spiritual journey together through the scriptures and let's visit what this foolish family would look like. And part of that is we have to know what the problem is before we find the solution. You know, in mathematics, you can't just say 4 without knowing 2 plus 2, right? And the same way as a believer, you don't know what being a Christian is until you know what sin is. And so the first characteristic of a foolish family that we can recognize is careless feet. And that comes from Proverbs 14:6. Now, when I was in high school, before I was a believer, I hated court TV. You know, Judge Judy, I don't know if you guys like them or not. Judge Mathis, Judge Joe Brown, all those guys, I hated them. And that's because the way I was living was foolish. You know, I was a fool. You know, I didn't want to hear what Judge Judy said about the way that I was living. I didn't want anybody to have authority over my life. But when I became a Christian, and a couple of years after that, for some odd reason, I got on this court TV kick, man. I'd always jump on after college, turn on Judge Judy. And the reason why, if you want to ask, is because you would see some of the most careless, reckless people on there. There was a story of this one guy who, he was separated from his wife, and he had a mistress on the side, and the mistress wanted to take a cruise. He had no money, so what did he do? Bright guy, his separated wife and him shared one car. He took a title loan out on that car in order to go on a cruise with this girlfriend. They ended up breaking up. He defaulted on the title loan, and now him and his family have no car. Got repossessed. Or there was another story of another guy who met this girl, I don't know, at a bar or something over in Florida, and he had a rental car. And so that same day, I guess he trusted her and he loved her. And so he's like, you know what, can you return this car at the end of the day? Of course, she just met him. And so she's like, well, you know what, I'll wait a couple weeks. You know, it shouldn't be any problem. She returned a couple weeks later, and this guy got, you know, thousands of dollars billed because of this late rental car. It's foolishness. It's carelessness. It's recklessness. Proverbs 14:16 states this: One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. So a wise person or a wise family, we can see, they think through things. You know, they're cautious when it comes up to hazards or deceptions. You know, when they see a turn in the road, you know, they put on the brakes, they slow down. You know, when they see a possible deception, they wisely turn away. But not with a foolish person or a foolish family. You know, they just kind of recklessly or carelessly go through life. You know, when they see a turn, you know, they just keep going, same speed, and then hit the guardrail, crash, and then they try to put the pieces back together. They never learn. The Hebrew word here in this passage from verse 16 is the Hebrew word kesel. And it means a blockhead. It means, and they're a blockhead because they're deaf to wisdom. From their distorted moral vision, of which they are prideful, they delight in twisting values that benefit themselves. And so this person is going to become morally perverse or whatever because they're a blockhead. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." You see, the foolish never think about where they're going, that where their choices might lead them. They just do things because they feel like it. And they never pray about it. They never ask, you know, a brother in the Lord about it. They never look in Scripture about it. They just kind of go with the flow. You know, they just let life make decisions for them. But we can see that the wise, they're careful. You know, they ask God about a decision. You know, they pray to Him. Proverbs 4:26 says, "Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure." You know, so think about your steps. Think about the choices that you make, and that's what the wise family does. They don't rush for that new hobby or that rush for that new thing. They ponder them. And then what does Scripture say? In this translation, it says that your ways will be sure. Some translations say your ways will be established. So the question is for all of us, do we have careless feet? You know, do we just go out and just buy that brand new thing without thinking about it, without asking your spouse? You know, do we go from thing to thing to thing? Do we try to fill a void that only God can fill? So we need to put off carelessness and recklessness. We need to replace it with purposeful steps. Now, maybe you don't have careless feet. Maybe that's not your problem. Possibly the issue is your eyes. And the second characteristic of a foolish family are distracted eyes. Distracted eyes are the eyes that never stay focused. They never deal with life as it truly is. They're always thinking about, you know, hey, what's that next thing I can do? You know, or, you know, oh, my life back here, it was really bad, but, you know, maybe I'll try this out. Instead of thinking of how life really is. Proverbs 17, verse 24 says, "The discerning set his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth." So we can see that the wise, set their eyes on wisdom, and their choices are influenced by wisdom. The foolish, however, they set their eyes on distant, godless, and unattainable goals, which does nothing for them, as one commentary says. So the wise, they focus on wisdom from God's word, and they can apply it right away. You know, someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm struggling with it." Let's get to God's word, brother. Let's see what God says about that. However, the fool seeks wisdom from one useless thing to another. From growing up in Chicago, biggest thing around there is Oprah, unfortunately. And so, you know, we have these people that just, you know, hey, for this year, I'm going to follow Oprah. But then, you know what, the following year, Dr. Phil, he has his own show, so he's got to be smart. I'm going to follow Dr. Phil. But then after that, you know what, Dr. Oz, he's the new thing. I'm going to follow him. And then after that, Donald Trump and all these different things. But at the end of the day, it's all foolishness. It just distracts you from what should be eternal, what is life-changing, what is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness. It's God's word. The New American Standard for 17, verse 24 says, "Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding." That word "in the presence of" is used 32 times, and it's used always in near the presence of the Lord. And it means that a wise person has, when you're following God's wisdom, you're near him. You know, you're walking with him. And so, whereas the foolish, you know, where it says there is the ends of the earth, that's used 24 times. And it means wrong or unattainable goals. And the fool follows the way of the world, which only leads to bad choices and bad consequences. You know, they're the type where I have a buddy, I love the dude, but man, he just goes from thing to thing to thing. You know, a couple of years ago, remember the beanie baby craze? You know, everybody going out buying all these beanie babies. And then he's, oh, next year, you know, I'm gonna collect guns. That's what I'm gonna do. But then, you know what? The following year, I think I'm gonna go into Euro dance music. Remember that big old dance thing? Everybody, they're doing stuff with their hands and everything. It's from thing to thing to thing. But instead, our eyes should be focused on Jesus. Amen. Our eyes should be focused on what his purpose is for our lives, and our eyes should be on him. So what do distracted eyes look like practically? Well, there's two types of distracted eyes. First, there's lustful eyes. And that's the type of thinking where, you know, if you see a beautiful woman, and then you're just like, you know what, if I just had that woman in my life, you know, everything would be great, you know. Or if I just had this affair, then you know, it would spice up my romance with my wife, you know, because I'm just thinking, you know, it's foolish. You know, it's these lustful eyes thinking that, hey, this will be better. And for men, I mean, let's just face it, we must be extremely careful about this, because the eyes are the gateway to our soul. David says in Psalm 103, "I will not set my eyes before any worthless thing." Job writes it like this in chapter 31, that Job has made a covenant with his eyes, that he will not look at any virgin lustfully. There's also a saying in the world, the grass isn't greener on the other side, it's greener where you water it. And so we must, as men and women, we must put off our lustful eyes and put on loving our spouses. Proverbs 8:16 says this, "Should your streams be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you." So first, lustful eyes. Secondly, materialistic eyes. I mean, this is the hardest thing for us as Americans, right? I mean, this is our idol. I mean, we got it good here in the United States. We always want that bigger, that nicer kitchen, or that upgrade, or that bigger, nicer house, or that newer, sleeker automobile. But we all know, as many of you do, a fake promise. It's fool's gold. At the end, once you get it, you're just like, man, is this it? Is this really all that it has? It's because the promises there are fleeting. Proverbs 8:10-11 says this, "Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with wisdom." We must remember that riches are temporary, but wisdom is forever. So now, maybe your problems aren't your eyes. Maybe there aren't your feet. Maybe you're kind of more of an aggressive or attack person. And that's the third one. The third one is fast fists or quick fists. It comes from Proverbs 18, verse 6. You know, do you have quick fists? Because the foolish family has quick fists. I remember in fifth grade, I don't know if this ever happened to you guys, but it happened to me. When you're out in the playground and you're, you know, playing basketball and one of the guys goes up for layup and another guy, you know, nudges him and he, you know, falls over a little bit and then they get up and they get quick fists. And then what happens in the playground? All the kids come around and they're like, fight, 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 you know, and it just gets crazy. Now, us here in the church, we don't get that way. We're too sophisticated. You know, we don't come to physical blows. But how many of us come to verbal blows with one another? You know, we cut each other down instead of encouraging one another. We destroy each other instead of giving life. You know, a foolish family, they explode very quickly. You know, they're like a volcano. You know, you never know what's going to happen. The family kind of is just always on eggshells because they're afraid. You know, they don't know when dad's going to blow up. Or possibly dad's the calm one. They don't know when mom is going to blow up. You know, mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So we can see in chapter 18, verse 6, it says this. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. We can see that the foolish family, they're constantly getting into fights. And wherever they talk, there's going to be strife. There's going to be contention. There's going to be quarrels. In the New Living Translation, it says this, that fools get into constant quarrels. I don't know about you, but you know there's argumentative people out there. And kind of when you see them coming, it's like the emotional radar goes up, you know. But in the foolish family, you know, they're constantly walking like that. You know, when the house is supposed to be a place of blessing, a safe haven for the foolish family, it's a place of strife and contention. I remember my best friend in Chicago, when he moved to this new neighborhood, his neighbors came over. And they said, hey, we're doing this new thing that our psychologist said. You know, check it out. The psychologist said, dealing with your anger, what you should do is set a time apart at the end of the day and just let it out. Just go at it. And so it's crazy. My best friend, he at the time, you know, just for that first week, he would just hear these screaming, you know, people screaming, swearing, throwing things, just totally letting out. And his foolishness. He can't tell me how many times the cops have been called for domestic violence because it's just utter foolishness. The second part of that verse from verse 6 says, his mouth invites a beating. The New Living Translation has, they are asking for a beating. So because of their combative or their fast or quick fists, you know, their life, it comes to blows. You know, they remind me of, once again, it's pretty crazy, but from Chicago, Jerry Springer, the Jerry Springer Show. You know, you always, that's essentially why people watch it, is so people can get into fights. It's foolish. It's foolishness. Or how about our own houses, you know? Husband comes home and the wife says, how was your day, dear? And he blows up, you know. Why are the kids screaming? Where's dinner? Why is the house a mess? Or vice versa. Husband comes home, you know, and says, how was your day? Wife screams, you know. Why are you leaving me alone all this time with all these kids? Or, you know, all these issues. It's just foolishness, you know. It's just, so, loved ones, you know, we all get angry. You know, we know that. You know, it's a matter of fact. But we need to put down these quick fists. We need to put down these combative fists. We should honor God by the way that we live and without a combative attitude. But don't take my word for it. Let's see what Scripture says. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. The New Living Translation says this, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor, you know, kind of like a badge. Only fools insist on quarreling. You can see the difference there. You see, a wise family, they seek to bring peace and truth to their conversation. Not so for the foolish family. They unfortunately only want to explode and tear each other down. So in order to bring honor, one of them have to be, you know, humble and submissive. And that's something that a fool or a foolish family knows nothing about. So whereas quick fists is more explosive anger, there's also the fourth characteristic, which is the most prominent among us evangelicals. It's called having lion lips or loose lips. And so the fourth is loose lips. And you see, loose lips are the more subtle ways to attack one another. You can call it what you want. Psychologists call it passive-aggressive. They call it ambitious. They call it controlling. They call it calculating. But let's use some biblical terms. Some biblical terms are slander, gossip, lying, malice, corrupt speech. And we can see that the loose lips are the fourth characteristic of a foolish family because they often do, unfortunately, the most damage. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And so what essentially it's saying is, you know, your words, they can either bring life, or they can bring death, and they can bring pain, and they can bring suffering. Proverbs 10, verse 18 says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." Chapter 10, verse 18. You know, see, loose lips are the ones that, you know, they call people into kind of those dark corners. They're like, you know, it's kind of like in the beginning of Proverbs. It's like, come on, hey, bro, let's go over here and let's talk about this. You know, and it's like, shh, shh, shh. It's all in whispers. And the foolish family waits until the spouse is away, or maybe one of the children are away, and they call a family meeting, you know, and they, shh, 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 they talk. They do character assassination on that person. This was brought to my light really closely because I know of a person who immigrated to the United States, and he came to make a better life for his family. And he wasn't perfect, but he worked for 10 years. And for all those years, he would send money back. He had three children, send them back to his native land. And during that time, his wife was unfaithful to him. And so eventually, after those 10 years of just sending money out, his children came. And so they were able to have time together. You know, the guy wasn't perfect. But during that time when they came to visit, the three children and the father, they broke down crying. And the reason was this, is because they asked the father, you know, "Why did you abandon us, Dad? Why did you leave us? Why didn't you give us any money? You know, what happened, Father?" And he realized that the whole time that he was paying his I think it was a separated wife, the money, she was taking it, but she was telling the children lies. She was taking the money for 10 years and said, "No, your father left you. He doesn't care anything about you. Your father's not even in the picture." And this man, to this day, he's an alcoholic because that wife, or ex-wife, I think, right now, assassinated this man's character. And so words are so important. The way that we say in America is that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. How untrue those words truly are. James, because we can see that because in Proverbs 18, verse 21, we can see that words can destroy people. And in James 3, it talks about your tongue being like a rudder or a small fire or like a bit. You know, it's so small, yet it can make such a big impact. But we can see that loose lips not only hurts other people, but also hurts the fool. We can see that in Proverbs 14, verse 3. "By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." You see, one with loose lips brings pain upon themselves. And so what is slander? What is gossip? What is lying? At the root of it, if you think about it, it's pride. You know, it's the foolish family with loose lips. They essentially, as one commentator says, they worship themselves. They resent those in authority over them. And they're jealous of everybody else's success. And so the question for us is, do you have loose lips? Do you slander and gossip and lie about others in your family or even in the church family? Because at the center of it is foolishness, which are pride and a bitter and critical spirit. Even myself, back in 2004, when I first started as a young battalion chaplain, I had a senior chaplain, of course. And so we were meeting down for, I don't know, coffee and breakfast. And at that time, I didn't like my battalion commander. Sorry for all you battalion commanders, but we just didn't jive. And so I was kind of railing into the guy, and my senior chaplain was like, hey, stop it. And I was like, what are you doing? You know, what are you talking about? I'm just talking. I'm telling my feelings, you know. And he's like, we don't do that here. We don't do that in this brigade. And he said, because how do I know that when you leave, you're not going to talk about me, and you're just going to start this fire everywhere you go? And that was my crash course in lying lips and loose lips, that it can destroy people. So far, we've seen four characteristics of a foolish family. You know, we've seen careless feet, distracted eyes. We've seen quick fists or fast fists. We've seen lying lips or loose lips. Finally, the final one is plugged ears. And plugged ears, of all the other, you know, all the other four, they have to be put off in order to become a wise family. But plugged ears is the most common characteristic of a foolish family. You know, it's interesting, you know, because Aya's grown up. She's a big girl now. And so, but she does this funny thing. Whenever Laura and I tell her to clean up her room or make dad dinner or do, and she's not big enough, but she essentially put her toys away or do something like that. She does this funny thing where she closes her eyes and she kind of balls up. And Laura and I seriously think that she thinks she's disappeared or something because she, you know, she doesn't have to listen to it. Now she's 2.5, you know, and it's kind of cute. We're like, oh, it's pretty clean your room. But could you imagine when she's 19 or 20, you know, and she's at her first job and somebody's like, you know, you gotta go do this, you gotta do this. And she, you know, it's foolish, right? Or think about, you know, when, remember in grade school when somebody, you know, would be, you know, hey, you're stupid, blah, blah, blah. You stick your fingers in your ears and, you know, you blah, blah, blah. You wouldn't listen to them, you know. Now, we're too sophisticated for this, right? Church family, right? Loved ones, we don't do this, you know. At least we don't do it physically. But how many of us do this emotionally? How many of us do this relationally with our loved ones, with our cherished ones? You know, there are so many people that know what the Word of God says, that hear the Word of God, but they don't do anything with it. It's plugged ears. The main passage for plugged ears is chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The Hebrew word here is different from the kassel word. It's actually awil. And awil is different because it actually means that the blockhead, who is that fool, he's a blockhead by virtue of his moral perversion. Whereas the other person becomes moral perverse because of him being a blockhead. Whereas this one, the root issue is that moral perversion. And so the root here is truly foolishness. And it's so hard to tell a fool that they're wrong, because they always think that they're right. As one of my mentors always said, they don't understand that they have blind spots. And he used to tell me, he used to say this, you don't know you have blind spots because they're blind. You can't see them. And the only way you can see your blind spots is by being in relationship with others, is by being in life-changing relationships with others, is getting close to people. And so people can tell you, hey, brother, there's something wrong here that you need to work on. And it's helping us to grow together, to being accountable with one another, to being real with one another. But the fool just walks around kind of with plugged ears and they never change. Proverbs 17, verse 10 says, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. As one of my other mentors says, this is his paraphrase. He says, you can get more through to a wise person with one gentle whisper than you can get to a fool by whacking him over the head with a baseball bat 100 times. That's essentially what it's saying. And I see this. You know, as a chaplain, I see some soldiers struggling. And, you know, I can tell the wise ones because I'll tell them something. I'm like, hey, brother, as Dave calls it, you know, it's love at its riskiest. You know, and it's kind of telling them, you know, hey, I love you, brother. I care for you. But, you know, I'd love for you to compare how you're living with Scripture. And so I'll tell some of these guys, you know, one drill, you know, hey, maybe you should change the way you're living in this way. And then the following drill, boom, life is changing, life is good, you know, things are changed. Whereas the foolish soldier, you know, I keep seeing them. I keep seeing the same problem. They never change. They never grow. It's like hitting them over the head with a baseball bat 100 times. They have plugged ears. And so the thing is, what does it take to break plugged ears? Proverbs 27, verse 22 says this. It says, you cannot separate fools from their foolishness, this is the New Living, even though you grind them like grain with mortar and pestle. And so you can't penetrate the heart of a fool with plugged ears, because this is the hardest to fix. You know, and this is what we must constantly focus on as a church family, loved ones. We must constantly pray for it. Lord, give me unplugged ears. You know, Lord, give me humility. Make me humble. Lord, make me teachable. Lord, let me see how I really am. Lord, you know, bring other brothers into my heart so I can share and I can live life with them. That's why I always, when people talk to me, they're like, you know, what do you do? What do you do? You know, and I tell them, I look for men that's kind of like David and Jonathan. You know, when they met, their souls were knit. You know, I look for men like that. That, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they'll go to the end with me. And so the question for all of us is, would you be willing to open yourself up to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your grandparents, to your church family, and ask them, you know, hey, nobody's perfect, including the pastor. You know, I'm not perfect, but please help me to become a more teachable person. And just listen and think about it and become teachable. So we've taken this spiritual journey through the house of a foolish family, and we've seen these five characteristics in them. And so the question is, you know, what happens if I have one of them, or three of them, or all five of them, you know? What do we do? The answer is pretty simple. As I said in the beginning, it comes back from Ephesians 4. You put off this foolishness, and you put on wisdom. Possibly you might be asking, but Pastor, you know, I grew up in a broken home. You know, I only know foolishness. The answer is the same. Put off foolishness, put on wisdom. But Pastor, you know, my family's divorced, and I'm just trying to get by. You know, I'm just trying to live every day, one day at a time. You know, put off foolishness, put on wisdom. But Pastor, you know, I have grown children. I have grandchildren, and they're living in foolishness. I can see it in the way that they treat their family. Put off foolishness, put on wisdom. But you know what, Pastor? I've been living this way for 5 years, 10 years, 20, you know what? My whole marriage, I've been living as a foolish person. Put off foolishness and put on wisdom. You see, the Christian life is it's a lifelong process, right? You know, you're constantly, the Holy Spirit's working in you to become more like Christ every day. But in the Christian life, it's a process, but there's also choices. There's points of decision making that you have to come upon. I call it a crisis moment. It's essentially when you come up to a fork in the road. It's like after service today, if we took a left on Gilbo, came up to 1604, you have a choice. You have to either go right or you have to go left. And in the Christian walk, you have to either choose wisdom or you have to choose folly. But the choice is yours to make at the end. And so I'm going to close with five truths of choosing wisdom. And so the first one is wisdom must be sought after. And that comes from Proverbs 4, verse 7. It says this: the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. The NIV says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all that you have, get understanding. So we got to realize that wisdom must be sought after. That it's something that must be sought out. Because we know we're not born with wisdom. My son Levi, he just was born 4 months ago, and the characteristic that they said about him was, you know, nobody said he's a wise-looking kid, you know? They say, you know, he might be chubby, he might be cute, he might look like daddy, or something like that. But they never say, you know, he's a wise man. See, because with wisdom, wisdom comes from experience and from living your life. And so usually, hopefully, the older you get, the more wise you get. Oh, there are some older people that aren't wise. But usually it means as you get older, you get more wise. And so you must seek after that. We also see that point two is that wisdom is for everyone. You know, Proverbs 3, verse 13 says this: blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. I don't know about you, but when I think of wisdom, I think of this older guy, you know, with, you know, long, kind of like Gandalf, you know, from Lord of the Rings, this old, you know, all this long, old hair and, you know, big beard, kind of in a rocking chair, you know, and then he's always, you know, come to me for wisdom, you know. But this passage says, it doesn't say blessed is the old dude who finds wisdom or the old person who gets understanding. It's that one. And it's so important, you know, if you're young, you're old, you know, male, female. It's saying that wisdom is for all of us. It's for everybody. Third, we can see that wisdom is available. It's very available. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says this: for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We can see that, you know, God, you know, he's waiting at the door, right? That's the main verse from Revelation. He's knocking. He's there. He says, ask and you will find. You know, and so it's available. The word of God is telling us that wisdom is available. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Fourth, wisdom is applicable. Proverbs 24, verse 3 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. You know, do you want your house to last? Do you want your children's children to see the house that you've built? And this passage is really important, because it's saying, you know, the house is built by wisdom, and by understanding it's established. And finally, the last one is one of the most important, is that wisdom gives hope. Proverbs 24, verse 14 says this, "Know that wisdom is such to your soul, if you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." You know, this verse calls out to those who are kind of hopeless, you know? Those that, you know, like me, 10 years ago, you know, jacked up family, you know, and you're like, what do I do? You know, where is wisdom? And this verse, if you look at it, if you see that promise that if you seek it, if you find it, there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. You know, tomorrow could be a new day for you and your family. You know, you're not stuck where you're at. That's the beauty of the Christian life, isn't it? Amen. Is that, you know, we were sinners, but we're saved by grace. And in a similar way, you know, even though we might be walking and looking like a foolish family, praise the Lord, because of what Jesus has done, man, tomorrow can be a new day. The sun rises again. You might be in a valley, but there's a hill and a mountaintop coming up. So let's not just be hearers of God's word. Let's be hearers and doers. Let's put off foolishness and put on wisdom, which we'll talk about more next week. But right now, let's pray.